There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday afternoon after 1 o'clock. Just a, you know, just a few hours for some folks before the weekend starts. 2.0 weekends, semi-regionally famous weekend weather scale. Good weather out there. A lot of people chomping at the bit to get out and do all kind of stuff out there. Only a few more hours for me before I get to smell diesel and eat dust for another weekend. You know, it's Friday. My good thing. Diesel, what was that album? Midnight Oil. I think Midnight Oil had their album, the one with the Beds Are Burning song. How can I sleep? That's my Midnight Oil imitation. That one. Diesel and Dust, I think, is the name of that album. Where that came from in my brain, I don't know. I can't even probably tell you where in the crowded FM Talk 106.5 parking lot I have the pickup, but I can tell you about an album name from the 1980s. Well, let's do a little some traffic texts coming in here before we get to all the other good stuff here. This one from Lisa saying traffic towards Saraland, especially from exit 13 and 15 and 165 northbound, is a mess with the construction work. So if you are going that way, be ready. Maybe take an alternate route or just stay where you are for a little bit. I don't know. I don't know that it gets any better this afternoon on that. And also, somebody had sent me a link here. Was it? Yeah, it was Jason. Said, Bad Drivers of Mobile on Facebook, which I know Leanna probably would be familiar with, not because it's Bad Drivers of Mobile, but because it's something that's local and it's on Facebook and she rules all those things. Not that thing, she's a moderator, but she knows them all. I guess somebody made a post here after I had the sheriff on the other day, like we've done in the past, which is one of the great things about Ask the Sheriff, right? And if you haven't ever heard it, usually the second Tuesday of the month, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins me and we go for an hour. And a lot of times, as we talk about all kinds of stuff with crime and drugs and all that, but sometimes just traffic stuff comes up and people will call in and say where people are speeding or where the speed's getting really excessive. I remember somebody called in about Schillinger and how fast people were going. They said, oh, they're going 90-something miles an hour. And the sheriff's like, well, we'll check into it. I hadn't heard that. And then he said, yeah, we put a detail out there, and they were going even faster than that. So last time he was on earlier this month, somebody called in and said how fast people were driving on 158 west of 45, from there to Schillinger in that stretch, the Autobahn, the Western Mobile Autobahn. And I may, like I said, at that point, I kind of clammed up because I may or may not be familiar with that route and may or may not travel that and probably go exactly the speed limit. And then I see this from Jason on the text line. I guess they were talking about that on the on this Facebook page about the sheriff's comments and telling everybody to slow down out there. There's actually people when that person number one called in with that information. Then the sheriff addressed it. And then the rest of the show was people getting mad about me letting that information out, and that was ruining their... I drive the same road, y'all. I can't help what people call in and say, so sorry about that. Let's see. There's a traffic update for... So it's... Lisa, thank you. So 65 northbound from exit 13 through 15 up there, slow going. I guess it's north and southbound. I don't know, Lisa, but you said going towards Saraland, so I'm going to guess northbound. Monty said, I wonder if that forecast, the one I had at the end of last hour from NOAA, is going to be as accurate as our hurricane season forecast was. Okay. Good one. I get the jab. But at the same time, it's easier for them to do these than hurricane forecasting, right? Because in a warmer than normal, because La Nina does like this, every time La Nina is La Nina-ing, it does kind of the same thing. You do get cold fronts, you do get stuff, but generally overall it's warmer and drier when you have a La Nina year. So it's not as specific as the hurricane forecasting. So, but you know what? When they roll out the hurricane forecast, okay, thank you, Lisa said only northbound. When they roll out the list next year, we'll all be paying attention again. And we still have. I don't think it's going to happen. Dr. Bill says it's pretty much shut down with these cold fronts. But hurricane season actually goes till pretty close to the end of November, even though it's forgotten about by many. It goes that far. So Maximus says, is the U.S. Department of Prisons going to provide Bannon three colored shirts to wear at the same time while serving his sentence? I don't know if that's part of it. Speaking of that, I mean, we can do... I figured Jeff had talked enough about it in the last show when I came on last hour, but we got maybe a lot of new people here. We could talk about the Bannon thing for a second. I mean, I'm not incredibly fascinated by it. It's Steve Bannon, longtime ally. This is from AP. Steve Bannon, longtime ally of former President Donald Trump, was sentenced today to serve 4 months behind bars after defying subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols allowed Bannon to stay free pending appeal and also imposed a fine of $6,500 as part of his sentence. Bannon was convicted in July of 2 counts of contempt of Congress, one for refusing to sit for a deposition and the other for refusing to provide documents. The judge handed down the sentence after saying the law was clear that contempt of Congress is subject to a mandatory minimum sentence of at least 1 month behind bars. Bannon's lawyers had argued the judge could have sentenced him to probation instead. Prosecutors had asked for Bannon to be sent to jail for 6 months. So it looks like King Solomon cut this down the middle. Prosecutors argued that Bannon, now 68, deserved a longer sentence because he had pursued a bad faith strategy in his public statements, disparaging the committee itself, made clear that he wanted to undermine their effort to get to the bottom of the violent attack and keep anything like it from happening again. There's the Bannon thing. So he's going to jail with, you know what, Maximus, he may be able to take his own shirts in there. So what he's talking about, if you've never seen a picture of Steve Bannon, he's famous for wearing multiple colored shirts. It's a look. It's a different look. He's going to go. He goes in. And then this, while we're on it, this story coming up just last hour or so, I think. At least that's when I saw it. House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. You know, they just cut and paste that at the beginning of every story. Today, the panel has officially sent a subpoena to former President Donald Trump. Goes on to say in this CNN story, the committee issued the subpoena to try to compel Trump to sit for a deposition under oath and to provide documents. While it's not clear if Trump will comply with the subpoena, the action serves as a way for the committee to set down a marker and make clear they want information directly from Trump as the panel investigates the attack. Then it goes on to say Trump and his legal team have been discussing how to respond to the subpoena, and a source familiar with the situation told CNN, stressing that no firm decisions have been made. Trump has tapped lawyers Harmeet Dhillon and Jim Trusty to take the lead on responding to the subpoena. So those two things in that whole world happening today. So the sentencing for Bannon and then the subpoena for former President Trump. And so it continues. And understand that any way to have this ramped up in the news cycle between now and November 8th is they're going to pull out all the stops, right? Even though I want to point out that he's not going to be on the ballot in these places, not officially, but they're trying to make it unofficial that it's some continued referendum on former President Trump. That's part of the plan. Also the tax story came out. Did you see this today? That the IRS brought out, the big shredder. They went down to the Office Staple Max Depot and bought a big, big shredder to start shredding documents. Listen to this. Okay, here's a story from this Fox News. It says the GOP fires warning shot at the IRS. Destruction of taxpayer filings is ripe for congressional oversight. I like when things are ripe for congressional oversight. Here's a story. said Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee asked the IRS this week to keep all documents related to its 2021 decision to destroy millions of taxpayer filings and indicated a deeper congressional inquiry is coming if Republicans take control of the House. I do like the fact that it's documents related to destroying other documents. Says during the first few months of the Biden administration, the IRS destroyed 30 million paper filed information returns, which must be filed by small businesses, raise my hand here, and others to inform the IRS of various transactions. The IRS claimed that, quote, software limitations, end quote, prevented it from. Why did they spend that money instead of new agents on some new software? IRS claims that software limitations prevented it from processing those returns, and a decision was made to destroy them. Now listen to this. So we don't have software to do it, so let's just destroy them. The IRS insisted that no taxpayers would be penalized as a result of this decision, but tax professionals were outraged at the decision to wipe out documents that, yeah, think about this, and wipe out the documents that took them, where is it? How long did it take them? This stuff is moving around. There it is. IRS insisted no taxpayers would be penalized as a result of the decision, but tax professionals were outraged at the decision to wipe out documents that took time and expense to file, and the Republicans demanded more information about what happened. The IRS so far has refused to hand over the decision memorandum that outlined the rationale for destroying the paper files, and Republicans this week asked for a letter to IRS commissioner, in a letter to IRS Commissioner Charles Redding to keep the documents. So there's a kind of side irony, not full irony, but side irony here, that the claim is don't shred the documents relating to the 2021 decision to shred documents. Cuts me up just to talk about it. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ah, yes. Puts me in a great mood on a Friday, right? From the score, not the soundtrack, from the score of Team America, World Police. Easily offended, don't go watch that movie. If you're like me, go watch that movie. All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5. And this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He and his crew have been doing the magic trick, right? Making junk disappear from homes, businesses, storage units, any old place you got junk, you need it gone, they do it. In Mobile and Baldwin counties, and it's so kind of open your mind here, too, on you think junk, you're like, yeah, all that stuff in the garage or the boxes in the attic, those kind of things. Right. But and they do that every day. But it could be furniture you get rid of. It could be something the number of giant trampolines Trey of them get is huge. Whole storage buildings like in a backyard, like one of the, they get that, too. Above ground pools, they do. Anything you're getting rid of like that, they can handle it. And the nice thing is they set a good old-fashioned appointment. And that means a lot, right, with your busy schedule, looking at next week. Okay, I got to get them. Well, I need it to be Tuesday or I need it to be Thursday. Well, they get that. So when you call or go online, they'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and they set an appointment. And when they show up, all you got to do is point at the stuff you want gone. They get it picked up and get it gone. The name is the number. If you want to call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can do it online and go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, so it is now week two for our constitutional quiz brought to you by LNS, my man Larry Skoda at LNS Air. This is a continuation of what I've done once yearly, where I've, on Constitution Day, asked these questions, offered prizes, and if you get it wrong, you risk your citizenship. But other than that, it's a win-win for you. It's really gone to a higher level now with LNS's involvement, because not only will you win the FM Talk 106.5 prize pack with the cool new run of huggers we've got and the eyeglass cleaning kit and with the logo and the logoed FM Talk 106.5 pen and all that good stuff, you'll get that. But also, each month, if you're a winner, a weekly winner, we're going to draw each month from y'all that are that month's winner, and we're going to award you $100. And then at the end of the year, So December, so we'll have the folks from October, a full month of November, full month of December, we'll draw from y'all, and then an additional $500 will go to the person drawn then. So conceivably, you're looking at $600 plus that really immeasurable in value FM Talk 106.5 prize pack. So here's how you get in that. So that sounds good. You hop on the line right now at 343-0106, 343-0106. I'm going to ask you a question about the Constitution. Today's is, I thought last week was kind of easy, but it's a constitutional question. I ask it to you. The first person, if they don't get it correct, caller number two, and then caller number three, because caller number one has the first shot at this, then caller two, then caller three, and on down the line. But I have a feeling with today's question, it'll be a thing that happens, you know, on the first take for caller number one. So I see the lines have lit up here. And so I ask you the question, and you answer it, and you win the prize pack, and you're in the running for the money and the big money at the end of the year. I will want to point out, just so, and what do they say? To be transparent, in all transparency, if you miss it, you lose your citizenship. If you believe I have the power to take that away. If not, then you're probably pretty good. All right, so let's do this, and we will bring our number one here. Let me press this button and the other button at the same time. And it says, David in Mobile is our contestant number one. Hello, David.
Hi.
Hey, it is time for you to risk your citizenship or win fabulous prizes in the FM Talk 106.5 Constitutional Quiz. Are you ready?
One question. Is that my citizenship under Biden or before Trump? I mean, before Biden.
In general.
Okay.
So yeah, you seem to not be worried about it. They just played the fanfare music. That means it's time for me to ask the question, David. So the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the first 10, are often also called what?
Bill of Rights.
Boom! Hold on. You're so fast, I couldn't even get to my... Let me get to my...
That popped in my head.
There he goes. The right answer sound effect I had to play. You got it. With no hesitation, David. Yes, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are called the Bill of Rights. And you, my friend, have won the FM Talk 106.5 prize pack. You're also now in the running for the money in October and the big money at the end of December. So good work.
Thank you.
All right, David, hold on. They're going to get your information. Leanna will take over, get your info on how to get your prize pack and all the info to put you in the running for the money. All right, we'll do it again next week. It's the Constitutional Quiz here at FM Talk 106.5. But while we're at it, I mean, David's right. So the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are called the Bill of Rights. It spells out our right in relationship to the government. You know, that yes, and this is something I talk about so much on the show. It is this contract with the government. It's like we the people. You heard that before, right? We say, okay, we realize we do need government. We don't need anarchy. So here's the deal. Here's what y'all can do. Here's what y'all can do. Here's what you can't take away from us. It guarantees civil rights, liberties, the rights of the individual, not just the group. And so much of our time now is spent this group or that group, or I identify as this or that. It is the defense of the liberty of the individual American citizen. Freedom of speech, right? This is Free Speech Week. We talked about that on Monday's show. Free speech. It's kind of speech you don't want to hear. Well, that's defended speech. It also, we got in a discussion why, you know, people can be sued for it. There's still defamation, but the government cannot muzzle you and not allow you to speak freely. I know, with the exceptions, there are exceptions, but they are few. And nobody goes to movie theaters anymore anyway. Also, part of that, freedom of the press and freedom of religion. These are the Bill of Rights, first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Good job, David, and congratulations for answering week two of the questions. And yeah, we'll do it again. And remember, too, just before we go to the news here, because I know the music starts, but the Bill of Rights sets rules for due process of law. You know, you hear me harp on rule of law for due process of law and reserves all powers not delegated to the federal government to the people in the states. Another thing you hear me talk about a whole bunch. So if they didn't tell y'all you can do it, federal government, that is my right or the states. I think we need this education more than ever. in our republic. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
135 FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile Friday style. Let's talk to my friend Angelo over at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on this Friday. Hey, Angelo.
Doing all right today, Sean?
I'm good. You and I were talking off air during the break there. Pretty interesting subject matter here. First of all, some people call it diamonds. I feel like it makes me sound like a Bond bad guy if I can call them diamonds. But you had somebody come in today, the other day, to talk about, what do you call those? The factory-made diamonds? Or what's the right term for that?
The proper term is lab-created diamonds. I mean, a lot of people in the industry are sort of up in arms about them, though. I will say that.
So what... Can you give me a little education so I can know something? They just press on coal, or what do they do?
This is actually pretty cool technology. They're growing diamonds basically using a plasma arc and carbon. And so it's pretty impressive stuff, but they've essentially patented a way to grow a diamond in a laboratory where it is indistinguishable from a regular diamond. You have to buy special equipment to test them. It's a big deal. And a lot of the diamond retailers or the jewelry retailers have started carrying lab-created diamonds as part of their line of products. We normally do not carry them here at the shop. All of our stones are genuine. If we ever do have a lab-created in, we always tell people about it. But it was really interesting because somebody came in today. Matter of fact, they're still here. They were possibly going to purchase a lab-created stone from somebody. And he gave me all the specifics on the stone. And we looked it up. And told him what my price would be on a similar stone, and he just looked at me and goes, "So I'm getting ripped off." I'm like, "I don't know, because you didn't tell me what they were going to charge you."
Right.
And his price was almost three times what we were offering the stone at.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
You're making money. I mean, Sean, you know, let's be realistic here. I've got a shop to run. I got bills to pay.
Yeah, you're not doing it for charity. Right.
I've got a healthy appetite. I mean, we're making money doing this. You know, now we're not going to try to get rich off of one guy, but I mean, my goodness, three times my price? I think that's a little extreme.
That's an understatement. So, you know, we've talked about this before with, like, free appraisals. Like, one of my family members came to you because she was looking at buying a piece of jewelry, right, and wanted to get a real idea of what it was worth, because you might not be able to find this. You have to have somebody like you or Ron or Nancy that knows this stuff, because you can't sometimes find the same piece online to compare, like, you know, here's what it's selling for. So you got to have, you saved that guy a bunch.
Well, we did. And a matter of fact, his problem right now is he said, okay, I had this amount of money here budgeted. So do I save a whole bunch of money by getting what I was expecting to get, or do I spend the money I had budgeted and really surprise her with something even better? And that's, I mean, it's a good problem to have, right? It's a whole lot better that he's doing this now than he bought it and then came in and said, hey, what would this be worth to you guys, and found out after the fact.
Wow. Okay. So, let alone the great selection of precious metals, jewelry pieces, there's a great selection of advice and wisdom at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So tell people how to find y'all in the real world, online, and talk about that radio show where we can all learn something.
Yeah, we're right here in Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can check us out on Facebook or on Instagram. You can also find us online at mobilebaycoins.com. You can check us out right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. with Two Guys and Some Change. That's a locally produced radio show with me and Ron. And if you miss that as a show, just go to wherever you listen to your podcast. Type in Two Guys and Some Change, and you'll find us there.
Angelo, man, I appreciate that story. That's a good heads up for us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Have a good weekend, sir.
You too. There he goes. Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, their show. Part of the 56 hours a week we do, and the podcast you can get through our app, or if you're on Spotify or iTunes or Ditcher, Steezer, Meezer, whatever. I mean, there's a gazillion of them. And I think we're almost on all of those podcast platforms. But fastest way to do it, the first place they post is to our app. And so if you if you're got a second where you can stop and go to, if you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play and then just type in our name without no point between the 6 and 5. So just FMTALK1065. Type that in on whatever, you know, whether you're at App Store or you're on Google Play, and you'll see the logo come up. That's us. Download the app. It's really quick. My phone that says chock-a-block full of photographs and videos and all that kind of stuff has plenty of room for the app. So it's not going to eat up all the room on your phone. Download the app. You can stream us, of course, there. It gives you another way to talk with us. I mean, you can call and you can text through the app. You can also leave us a message. You'll see a microphone icon there where you can record a message, emails it to us. We can play it back here on the air. Traffic maps on there, weather information, show schedules, our great social media feeds that are being updated all the time, like what Leanna does with Facebook. You'll get those updates there. And, of course, that primary access to all those hours of locally produced shows, which is, you know, just a side note. It's funny. It's fun to talk to, like, the national radio people will call me, you know, they're trying to get this show on or what, you know, they're doing their job. They're salespeople for this show, and they'll say, hey, you got some slots where you can swap out one of your other syndicated shows for this? And I'm like, not really. And they go, well, how many hours y'all do a week? And I tell them how many local hours and how many voices, how many people from Mobile and Baldwin County are part of doing radio here 7 days a week. And they're like, really? I say, yeah, I really check the website. But yeah, it's a cool thing. So, and Angelo and Ron are part of that as well. So you can listen to them live for Two Guys and Some Change on Tuesday nights, but you can also grab them and others in the podcast world with FM Talk 106.5. Before I run out of time here, because Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan is going to join me in a second, just want you to know this, as we're not, maybe this story would be better coming back in, you know, in November, but I want to get ahead of time here because, you know, there's a lot of turkey talk on this station. Story from the Sacramento Bee, headline here, turkey cuddle events are being staged on Thanksgiving by an animal-loving California farm. Says a California farm is taking its reverence for all life to the next level by hosting a turkey cuddling event on Thanksgiving. It says turkeys are affectionate, the gentle barn insists, and for $50, the great charity there, for $50, visitors can spend 90 minutes getting to know one better, hugging it, feeding it treats, and making small talk. The Santa Clarita-based farm is offering therapeutic sessions at all three of its locations, with $25 fees at farms in Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri. Santa Clara is about 30 miles northwest of Los Angeles. So if that's what you need on Thanksgiving, instead of eating a turkey, you would like to cuddle and make small talk with a turkey, there's a place for you. It's a place for all of us in this world. Mine's just not going to be at this farm. All right, coming back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And my guest, Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino. Rowan, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Sean.
Okay, I'm going to get right into this because what we talked about during the news break is something to me that I knew it was a thing. Maybe it kind of seemed innocuous to me. And that is a rec report. A rec report. So first of all, I guess bring us people like me. They're kind of ignorant. A rec report is what? Define that.
When you're in an automobile wreck, okay, and the police show up, they're required to fill out a form. There's a standard form that's accepted in Alabama, and then the various municipalities, you know, also adopt that same form, and it investigates the wreck, puts all the information about
this
what happened
here. Somebody was traveling east, somebody was traveling west, you know, something like that, right?
It diagrams the wreck, okay, and it gives an officer's narrative of what he believes happened.
Okay, so there's two parts. I mean, we've seen these filled out before. So there's, I mean, some things that I guess are objective and some things that are subjective, the way you're saying this.
Yeah, the officer has the option of placing one or the other parties at fault. And you know, that's his determination. And certainly he has the ability to put whatever he wants on the narrative. I mean, that's his option as well. That's his statement about what happened. So, you know, I've been dealing with some inaccuracies. And I respect and I thank law enforcement for their service. I do, just like the military. But it really makes my job difficult when I'm dealing with inaccurate rec reports just that, that are completely wrong.
So, so just because it's on a report does not mean it's what happened.
That's right. I mean, you need to know what you're doing when you're doing what I'm doing, particularly with serious injuries, life-changing injuries, permanent injuries, a person that's going to have a permanent limp, and then you've got this rec report that says they're at fault. And then I do my thing, and I do an investigation that's, you know, I think it's even beyond what there's a traffic homicide investigation that is a high-level investigation anytime there's a death in a case. And I feel like our investigation that we do in serious cases is even beyond that because I've proven traffic homicide reports to be inaccurate as well. And so it's important that people go to a lawyer and a law firm, particularly in a serious injury case that's going to really, you know, get down there and grind and not be swayed by what's in the report. Sit down with the client, look them in the eye, mm-hmm. judge their credibility. I mean, you and I know each other.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was, you know, telling a story to you or that wasn't true or vice versa, you'd know it. But, you know, when you sit down and you talk to someone, you can tell if they're telling the truth or not. And
so, I mean, wait a second. This is way bigger than just semantics on a rec report. It's not just like they were, you know, going 30 versus 35 or something like that. The way I'm hearing it from you, that there are sometimes substantial things wrong with them, complete inaccuracies, or am I going too far with that?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, and the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because, I mean, I'm finding just a plague of bad reports in very serious cases. I mean, one of them I have with a guy that burned up in his car, and, jeez. You know, there were two witnesses listed on the wreck report, and within 2 days, I'd found 10 witnesses, and those 10 witnesses didn't say anything like what was in this report about what happened in the wreck. So that's very disturbing that you've got a deceased person out there, and you've got what I don't perceive as attention to detail. But on a personal note, you know, my nephew in Tuscaloosa, very, very good kid, responsible kid, not like me when I was a youngster. he pulled out in front of somebody from his neighborhood, and that person T-boned him and, you know, almost killed him. And he was in the hospital a couple of weeks and had the halo thing, and it was awful. And, you know, I asked my brother and sister-in-law, hey, can I just look into this thing because something doesn't seem right to me? And they gave me the go-ahead, and I talked to the police officer, and I didn't even tell the guy I was a lawyer because I didn't want him, you know, thinking I'm trying to, you know,
right.
Exercise
at this point,
my weight.
And, well, at this point, you're an uncle.
And I asked him, yeah, I called as an uncle. I certainly did. And that's why I was calling. I asked him if he's downloading the EDRs, electronic data recorders, like the black box in the car. No, he's not doing that. I asked him if he's looking at the cell phones. There was a younger person that hit my nephew, you know. Young people like to text and drive. They mm-hmm. like to look at Facebook, even older people. But, yeah. You know, I've got kids.
You've called it dumb driving, right, as you called it in the past.
My kids, you know, walk around the house, you know, watching Netflix. So, I mean, yeah, they love to do it. So, and he said those things aren't being done, and I just need to, you know, stick to my own, you know, just mind my own business type of thing. And he hung up on me, and so I called up my accident reconstructionist. We did a full reconstruction of this thing, and before we ever downloaded any of those black boxes, they're called EDRs, my accident reconstructors had calculated based on the angle of the cars and the crush analysis, you know, the where the impacts were and all that the other driver was far exceeding the speed limit, and she was coming around somewhat of a curve, so it was blind to my nephew when he pulled out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he violated the right-of-way because she was going 20 miles over the speed limit, and he couldn't see her coming around that corner. Had she been going 45, the speed limit, wreck would never have happened. He'd have gone to class that day. She'd have gone wherever she was going that day. And so I litigated that thing, and then, you know, I had all kinds of motions to compel, and I took depositions of AT&T representatives for the cell phone records, and, you know, we had the EDR download, certainly, and that was, you know, the most interesting. The other thing that that EDR showed, the black box, is that that person never braked before impact. Okay. So at some point before an impact, you know, when something pulls out, you're braking, mm-hmm. right? There's got to be mm-hmm. a good reason. You know, but this report, this, you know, the stuff that we can do now can show you if there was no braking. So if you're never braking, and you have a clear line of sight and you can kind of show mathematically or whatever scientifically where somebody pulled out, you're distracted. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's some reason why you didn't brake. So I'm just a huge believer in thorough investigations. Now, you can't do these things in every single case. I can't get somebody, you know, that comes in and says, I hurt my neck, went to the doctor once, and that's it. And, you know, I can't go hire accident reconstructionists. And right. I can't do that. But if when someone comes to us with a death or a serious injury, I have to tell all my other clients, we stop everything and we go full throttle. And we look into the case. And from the competitive nature of myself, I mean, I find kind of pleasure, you know, in sort of winning, sure. I guess, sure. you know, in finding out really what happened. But, you know, from just a human being side of me, I'm a little disturbed that it wasn't done right and that my person got put behind the eight ball because the officer is putting my client at fault when it's literally the opposite of that. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do with that?
So, I mean, my takeaway here is this idea that just because it's in a wreck report doesn't always mean that's what happened.
Right. So people need to know, and they probably don't know. I mean, people don't have walking around knowledge about the rules of evidence in a courtroom.
No, that's why you're here.
Right. But people loosely use the word hearsay, and that's uh-huh. hearsay is any out-of-court statement that is made, including a document. So
wait a second. Document can be hearsay?
Oh, every document is hearsay.
So it doesn't just have to be verbalized. Written hearsay.
Right.
Okay. Right. I'm going to use that.
It's written hearsay, and there's other objections to it as well. It invades the province of the jury. It's the jury's decision, or the judge, you know, to determine who's at fault in any case.
Not the wreck report.
Not the wreck report. So it doesn't come in. So the officer never gets to testify about who's at fault, but it can severely impact the case from the insurance companies. You know, on the other side, they see the wreck report like, oh, we're not paying a dime. You know, we don't care if your guy's in a wheelchair. You know, you're going to have to fight us to the courthouse. So instead of potentially settling a case because I've got a severely injured person
right.
that can't work or whatever, now I've got to litigate it for however long. I mean, you know, between filing suit and getting to trial, I mean, that could be, I mean, if you're lucky, it's going to be a year, year and a half, but it can be two and a half, 3 years, a lot of times. So just think about that. Because of what's in that wreck report, insurance company digs their heels in, and this guy, you know, that they're losing their house or losing their cars, all this stuff. And then,
turns out the wreck report was not true.
Right. Turns out, you know, I can prove everything wrong. And a lot of it is just the technology that we have. And so I know a lot of the answers are going to be of the law enforcement, we don't have the money. All right. And mm-hmm. so if you give us all the ability to download the black boxes or EDRs, yeah, we can do all that. But I mean, isn't that what government and police are for? You pay $20,000 or $30,000 to get the equipment to download the EDR, then you own it, and then it doesn't cost you anything at that point in time. Right. So all you have to have is one or two or three qualified people that can do it, and you just have them in a serious case, you know, download the EDR, and I'm all about it because it tells me scientifically if my client's at fault, if the other driver's at fault, and you know, it's like DNA. I mean,
right,
you
right.
know, you can't say, oh, that's not my DNA on that knife
right.
handle or whatever.
Right.
You know, that's
yeah. The EDR is doesn't have an emotion; it just records information.
That's right.
Listen, you've given us a lot more to think about in this. I got to tell you, I think a lot of people never even thought about the chance that these wreck reports were wrong. People that haven't been wronged by them, the people that have, maybe it's worth coming to talk to you and saying, hey, that what it says in that wreck report is not what happened.
Right. If you have a serious case, particularly, and an attorney tells you that, sorry, you know, the rec report says this, and you know the rec report is wrong, I'd get a second opinion.
All right. This man, obviously, you can tell he's ready to listen to you. Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services.